I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
Ball game over. American League Championship Series over. Yankees win. The Yankees win!
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the Free Odyssey app.
Welcome back to The Fan. Lori Rubenson here with you at 877-337-6666. A big sports Sunday here in the Big Apple. The Rangers take game one against the Capitals in first round Stanley Cup playoff series. And the Islanders, on the other hand, lose their first game. Tough game to the Hurricanes, lose 3-1. That was yesterday. To talk Stanley Cup playoffs, we bring in friend of the program, EJ Raddick. He is from NHL Network and lead analyst on NHL Tonight. You should follow him. Hey, EJ, how are you?
I'm good. Just as you say hello, Nashville just scored. So it's 2-1 Nashville over Vancouver. I've been watching hockey games all day, so it's there. You know, it's all kind of meshing together, but good to be with you again. I hope all is well, and nice to chat a little hockey. We had a busy, busy day.
Absolutely. How many hours of hockey did you watch this weekend?
A lot. And I actually played hockey, actually, on Saturday, too, and then I watched the tape of some of them that I missed, and then watched the second game, and I've been, you know, running around today, but I had my phone with me watching the game on my phone, like soccer games and tennis event and stuff. So I've been watching all of it today. It's been great, especially that Winnipeg Colorado game. That was absolutely crazy. So,
well, here in these parts, of course, people are excited about the Rangers and fans, you know, wondering, is this going to be a 1994 and whatever? But first things first, and the Rangers draw Washington Capitals in the first round, and I guess big picture, let's start with what sort of advantage do the Rangers have in general in the playoffs? Not to say that there aren't, you know, other teams obviously have outstanding coaches, but Peter Laviolette and the experience that he brings, how is that just an edge for the Rangers?
Well, it's an edge because he's been there before. He's been to three finals. Now, he won in Carolina. He lost in Philadelphia and Nashville, but he's got a world of experience, and you saw it play out today. I mean, the team was kind of in a very, like, that game was being played very much, you know, Washington was very comfortable being scoreless into the second period. I mean, they weren't getting much done, but they weren't giving up a ton in return, and they were hanging in, and that's what Washington probably wants to do. They want to make it a one-shot game at the end and try to steal games and put pressure on the Rangers. And Peter, you know, he changed his lines a little bit. He made a quick change to move Panarin up, and then he leaned on that fourth line a little bit. And guess what? The fourth line ended up scoring a couple of goals for him. So, you know, those are things that veteran coaches don't hesitate to do in games. And I've said it really all year long. If I was voting for the Jack Adams Trophy this year, I would vote for Peter Laviolette, because I think, you know, when you think back to the start of the year, I think there were questions. I mean, the Rangers have a good roster. They have a really good team. But there were questions about, you know, where some of these things were going to go with some of the younger players there. Lafreniere, for example. Kako suffered injury this year. But, you know, it's been a little bit of a different situation for him. you know, where was, you know, how was Panarin going to respond to a new coach? And, you know, Panarin has had the best year of his career. Lafreniere has emerged. You know, other players have thrived. The team won the President's Trophy. And I think on a game-to-game basis, Peter has had a really good grasp of the group in front of him. And, again, you saw it today. He made some really interesting moves in the game, or timely moves that helped the New York Rangers get control of that game and kind of cruise to the 4-1 win.
Let's sit with a couple of those moves. And I think it's a great point that a veteran coach who isn't scared to make a change versus, I think there can be a tendency for a less experienced coach to think, well, this is what got me here, and I'm nervous in a pressure situation to deviate from that. And so one of those moves that you talked about is, come playoff time, there can be a tendency to say, you know what, I'm going to shrink some of my rotation here, and I'm not going to go give my fourth line as many minutes. And after the, you know, to your point, playing that fourth line, giving them some confidence, giving them minutes, and understanding maybe that in particular, Matt Rempe, the rookie, has become such a folk hero with the crowd that it also helped, you know, obviously he scores the first goal, but it also helped add some energy, I think, to the building. And I don't think that's a small thing. So the way that fourth line was such a factor, when you talk about players who've developed, I think Rempe could have come into this game and been, you know, the guy who takes penalties and gets into fights. And instead, there was an early penalty. But I thought that the Rangers were, you know, by and large, played a patient style, given that, you know, Washington could frustrate you.
Yeah, I thought it was, you know, they just stayed with the game today. I mean, it was, they hadn't played in, you know, several days. They're coming in playing a team that has had to kind of claw tooth and nail to get here. Nobody expects them to be here. Spencer Carberry, who's a rookie coach, I think has done a great job with that team this year. But, like, you know, all teams, you know, love to play the us against the world card, right? And I'm sure in that locker room, they're playing that card for the Capitals, that nobody thinks we can win. And we've got, you know, a lot of young players, and we've got some defensemen that are injured, and we're playing, you know, a goalie that is really in his first kind of season as a kind of a factor, you know, a starter, and playing in his first playoff game. And nobody thinks we can beat the President's Trophy Rangers. So I'm sure they're pushing, playing that tune there in their locker room. And, you know, like I said, the Rangers, you know, they stayed the course, the fourth line. You know, when you get in the playoffs, I mean, this is the thing that's really encouraging about this. Now, we'll see. There's going to be lots of changes. There's, you know, who knows how far things go. I mean, this hockey is such a crazy game, and these teams are really close. Even the you know, a President's Trophy winner like the Rangers and the Caps, who are the 91 points, I think they have the lowest point total in the playoffs. You saw it today, earlier in the game, it was tight. So I think, like, if that fourth line can continue to be helpful and continue to have, you know, good games and give them good minutes, and Rempe can be someone with his size that can go in and just intimidate on the forecheck, you know what? I don't really, you know, I'm a fan of him using his long stride and using his physical talents to get in and get defensemen nervous and get a little bit physical below the dots and win wall battles. Like, if he does those things, he'll be a really effective player. And he's got a Barclay Goodrow with him who's been there and won a couple of cups, who's made for this type of year, this type of kind of game. And then Jimmy Vesey, who's one of these guys who could play just about anywhere in your lineup, and he's a really bright hockey player. If those three guys can continue to be helpful players for the Rangers, I mean, that could be – those are the kind of things that help you go all the way to the end, Lori, and win. So it's one game. We'll see how it plays out. At the end of the day, they're going to need everybody pulling the rope, as every team that's in the playoffs do need. But, you know, certainly to get contributions from the back of their lineup is something that will be really helpful if they're going to make it all the way to the end.
Yeah, you mentioned Jimmy Vesey, and he's a player. I think it's been an interesting career arc, you know, trajectory, and to find himself as one of the stars of the game, and, you know, with a goal and an assist. And you mentioned also Matt Rempe, and using his size. The goal that VC scores is off of a coming off of a face-off, and Rempe doesn't get an assist, but he sort of gets in the way there. And that's a good way, that physicality, to kind of use some of that to that line's advantage.
That's his job on that type of play, is to kind of just kind of screen off without, you know, without making it too obvious and grabbing or holding the guy, but just using his body position to screen off the defender from getting it out into that spot. And he did a really nice job. And, you know, VC was able to get the puck, on goal, and he got a break and it went in. So, you know, the bottom line is that you need everybody contributing, and teams that win the Stanley Cup, they get contributions from all throughout their lineup. And it's a good sign right off the bat in game one that group ended up being involved in a couple of goals and really a big goal in the game. I mean, that first goal in the game was important because the Washington Capitals just don't score a lot, Laurie. I mean, down the stretch, I think there was one time when they scored more than two goals in a game, once out of the last 12 games, something along those lines. Even the last game they won against Philadelphia to help them get in, they scored the winning goal into an empty net because the Flyers needed to win the game in regulation. So the Washington Capitals, they haven't been scoring a lot. The fact the Rangers got the first one, then they got another one right after it, that was a great contribution from that group today. So you're going to need all those contributions. It's a good start.
Talking to E.J. Raddick about the Rangers and their win on Sunday. And one notable stat that jumped out to me, Alexander Ovechkin, 0 shots on goal.
Yeah, that stood out to me as well. I mean, he had 7 shot attempts, but he did not get a shot on goal. And if that's going to be the case, I mean, clearly this is going to be a short series. They're going to need Alex Ovechkin to score. They're going to need him to be involved on the power play. But you know, the Rangers, they've earned this matchup with how they played all year and getting the number one seed in the East. And you know, the Capitals have been a great story. I don't want to sit here and say that they can't come back and win game two. They played 4 games in the regular season and they split them. But the Rangers are just better in a lot of areas, and the Rangers should win. And so we'll see how things go in game two. But, you know, for the Washington Capitals, I think it's going to be a hard path under any circumstances. It's really going to be a hard path if Alex Ovechkin is not more involved than he was today.
The other thing, if the Rangers obviously have much bigger aspirations, as you point out, they come into the playoffs as the, you know, winning the President's Cup. And so you don't want to look past the team like the Washington Capitals at all. You got to win the next period, win the next shift, win the next game, win the series, then you move on. But in terms of signs that we look at from today, and you're right, the Capitals are a low scoring team. And they want to keep, Peter Laviolette even talked about this after the game, they themselves are not going to have a lot of chances, and they don't want you to get a lot of chances. They're going to kind of keep things. It may not be the most dynamic, exciting form of hockey, but that is what they're sort of after. But I thought it was important that game one of the first game of what the Rangers hope will be a long playoff run, when you have two of your big star players in Panarin and Kreider and your scorers, I think of goal scorers. How important is it, you know, for those goal scorers to get a goal in that first game and not have to be maybe 2 or 3 games in and still have that monkey on their back?
It's great. It's great to get it right away, and because one game becomes 2 games, 2 games becomes 4 games, and you know, when those guys aren't scoring, you know, it's harder to win. So it's great that Panarin got the goal he had. It was a really good play by Lafreniere, finishing a hard check on the wall, creating turnover. He ends up scoring, and then you know, Kreider takes off on that breakaway, great pass from Zibanejad, and he finishes. But it's great to get on the board. It's just great to put numbers by your name. You're not thinking about it. You're focused on the task at hand. It's shift-to-shift hockey in the playoffs. And, you know, the Rangers should certainly know it. I know all the coaches knew. Most of the players were there last year, and they remember having a very comfortable 2-0 lead over the Devils going home. and then losing four of the next five and losing that series. So I don't think the Capitals present the danger that the Devils present, but they do present, they could present problems if the Rangers don't play well and play better, actually, than they played today. So we'll see where it goes. But to answer your question, it's great to have your top players get goals early on because, like, you know, we're not talking about, you know, Alex Ovechkin, no shots on goal, yeah, right? That's a topic today, right?
Yep.
The fact that, you know, in Panarin, you know, it's been a little bit of a bugaboo in the playoffs for Panarin. How is it going to work for him? Well, look, seven shots today, 10 shot attempts. He got the goal. You know, those are the numbers you want to see.
And as you say, Rangers need to play better. Laviolette after the game talked about that he did not seem satisfied and talked about that they need to tighten some things up. Both coaches talked about that after the game. If you're the Rangers, what are some of those things that you want to tighten up for game two?
Well, I think you probably want to take fewer penalties. I mean, they took some penalties early in the game. Now they were able to kill it off, and that's one of the things that the Rangers have been really good at throughout the season is their special teams have been great. I think they're third in both power play and penalty kill, which is outstanding. So, and I think that's where they've done a lot of damage this year. Even as a penalty killing team, they gained momentum from killing penalties. But I just don't think you want to tempt fate and give Washington too many power plays. So I think that's an area they can tighten up and just be a little crisper. I think they will be. I think when you don't play, like I said, Laurie, I don't think, when was it? They played Monday or Tuesday last week, and that was their last game. So there was several days, and it's a Sunday afternoon game.
Yeah.
So, you know, I think they could be crisper. And I think they want to probably be a little bit better be a little bit more disciplined and not take as many penalties.
All right. I want to switch to the Islanders real quick before I let you go. And the Islanders obviously lose game one. It felt like, you know, we're in the opposite scenario where, you know, if, you know, obviously the Islanders are not favored against the Canes, but it felt like game one was a game that if they have to steal a game to try and win this thing, when you're 1-1 going into the third period, that was a game that was set up to be, you know, kind of the way the Islanders wanted it. And, you know, what else can they be doing? That just seemed like a perfect opportunity and a really bad missed opportunity.
Yeah, I mean, I think when you're on the road and you outplay a team, especially when they're the favorite, the Islanders played really well, particularly in the second period. That's a missed opportunity, though. You don't want to, you know, like moral victories are. I mean, there are no moral victories, right? I mean, this seven game series is only, you only get seven opportunities to win those four games, and that was an opportunity. I think you're right. It was an opportunity for them to win. They got off to a little bit of a shaky start, took a penalty. They win a faceoff, killing the penalty, then Pella can't clear the puck, and it ends up in the back of the net. Kyle McLean ends up scoring around the net to tie it, and then we're locked in a 1-1 game. And really, Freddie Anderson was the difference. He made a lot of big saves, particularly in the second period. So I agree with you. I mean, I think Carolina is going to play a lot better in game number two. So the Islanders can feel good that, hey, we can hang with these guys and we can play with them, and they'll get another crack at it on Monday night. But, you know, I think it was a really good opportunity there. They were playing well. The game was tied. And the Islanders it's a small margin of error against a deep team like Carolina, even when they're not quite at their best. And, you know, the Islanders made a couple of mistakes. They took a penalty early, couldn't clear that puck, led to a goal. Third period, it looked like Carolina came out on their toes a little bit. They had the Islanders backed in, got some zone time, and eventually they got a bounce in front of the net. So, you know, that was really the game. So, you know, it looks like they're going to get Pageau back for game two. So that should help them. I mean, he's been around and is a helpful player for them, but, you know, at the end of the day, for me, I agree with you. I just think it's a missed opportunity. And, I think Carolina is a really deep, good team. And if Freddie Anderson plays like he played yesterday, they're going to be hard for anybody to beat.
Yeah, there was that one sequence he made. He just made a couple of phenomenal stand on his head saves that were just all-timers. Patrick Waugh did a terrific job with this team, especially with the Islanders down the stretch and the way they played to close the season and get to the playoffs. But you look at the Islanders.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
And they lose, you know, they only score one goal in that game. And yes, we can say it's Freddie Anderson, but the Islanders were one of the lowest scoring teams in the conference in the regular season. What can Patrick Waugh do to try and generate some more offense, or do they have to somehow deviate from their style to try and shake this series up?
No, I don't think. I think if they try to get into a track meet with Carolina, that will be a short series. I don't see that as an advantage. I thought they played well. I think they just have to do more of the same. And, you know, when they get opportunities on the power play, for example, they have to be a little bit better with it. I think they got the two power play chances, if I'm not mistaken, in game one. The first one didn't provide really much of anything. The second one, they had some opportunities. But I think it's really, the formula is the same. I think that their five-on-five game has been much better. In the last, let's say, 15 games of the season, it was a work in progress. Patrick came in late in January. And, you know, they had their ups and their downs, and it looked like they were out. And then the last 10 games or so, they really played well. They had those two really entertaining games with the Rangers, and they managed to find a way to win just enough games to get where they wanted to go. But I think it's more of the same. They've just got to play really good, hard hockey, play strong through the middle of the ice, help their goaltenders out. I'll be curious to see, you know, which way Patrick goes in goal. I haven't heard. I've been watching all these other games today. I don't know if he made any announcement today on the goaltender for tomorrow. But, you know, I wouldn't be surprised either way. Varlamov played very well in that game. I don't blame him for either of the goals. He's been really good down the stretch. But Sorokin, you know, we know what he can do, and played very well against the Rangers on last Saturday. So I think that's one of those things that Patrick could go either way with the goaltender. But I think it's Laurie. It's got to be more of the same. They've got to finish around the net. And when they get pucks, you know, when they get those opportunities, they got to bury them. That's really what it comes down to.
Yeah. I mean, you look at this, and Carolina ended up with only 26 shots actually on net. And, you know, if you were the Islanders, you would have signed up for that and taken that gladly. It's unfortunate with these teams where, look, we remember back to last year and they played a 6-game series and the Islanders lost a couple games in overtime. I think that, you know, final score says 3-1. They were 1-1 heading into the third period. But, you know, these teams, you know, the Islanders can outplay them, play well, all of that. But they need some lucky breaks, quite frankly, if they're going to pull the upset.
Well, listen, everybody does, that's for sure. And like yesterday, really, Carolina got a good bounce, you know, really on that go-ahead goal. Mm-hmm. I mean, that puck kind of bounced around in the slot, and then Nate just was able to kind of get it towards the net, and it kind of just rolled off the pad and into the net. So, I mean, everybody needs those. I mean, the Islanders did have their chances. They just didn't get those bounces around the net and it didn't go their way. But I think the Islanders would sign up, Lori, for these, you know, 1-1 going into third, you know, against a really good Carolina team, give them a chance. And you're right. They played last year and, you know, there was a 6-game series and the Islanders could have got a few bounces or breaks. But, you know, this is what happens when you're playing against a team. Carolina is a really deep team. They've made some additions. You know, look at Kuznetsov yesterday. He's got 1-1 in the game yesterday. I mean, like, you know, that's a guy that has a real playoff pedigree. I thought he was a great add for them. It's a little bit of a risk. I think it's a low risk, high reward because, you know, his situation was such that he needs to play well. He looks really rejuvenated playing there. He finished the season. He was just okay. But, you know, he's won a Stanley Cup, that guy, and he's not going to be leaned on to be, you know, they're deeper now for the middle of their team because he's there. You know, it supports Aho. It supports Staal. Jack Drury was in yesterday, did a really good job winning a couple of key faceoffs when they needed him in a big moment. So, you know, I just think Carolina's, you know, they're a handful. They got a good team there. So the Islanders played them tough. The Islanders just have to put game one behind them and kind of think of the things they could do a little differently and just try to eliminate as many mistakes as possible. Hockey's a game where mistakes happen, but when you got your puck, when you're a defenseman as good as Adam Pellick and you got the puck on your stick as a, on your forehand and you've got time in the, you know, after you win a faceoff on a penalty kill, you have to get that puck out of the zone.
Yep.
And the fact that he didn't get it out of his own there, it's a simple mistake, but it ends up in the net.
Yeah, and when you're talking about it being a game of mistakes, and you mentioned how well Freddie Anderson played in goal, if you want to try and change things up, you know, as you said, the Islanders played well, but if you want to look at something and say, all right, where might there be a weakness? Anderson played really well. Is there something to maybe, you know, more forechecking or dumping the puck in or trying to, you know, where are some of the potential weaknesses that you could try and find for Freddie Anderson?
Well, I think, you know, it's the old story, right, Lori? I mean, you got to get traffic. You got to get under him a little bit, make his life a little hard, bang into him once in a while. I mean, those are the things that teams have been doing to goalies, you know, since they started playing hockey, right? So those always hold true. I think the Islanders still have to try to be strong through the middle of the ice. I think, you know, you got to get the puck behind the Carolina defense. And Carolina wants to move the puck quick, Lori. That's how they play. They get the defensemen get the puck. It's off the glass. Everybody's going. They want to play with pace. They want to be moving. They want to play in your end all night. When you play against a team like that, you have to be – when you get the puck to the neutral zone, if you have a chance to carry the puck in and attack on the rush, you can do it. If you don't have that play, you got to chip it to areas where you can create a foot race and win that foot race because their defensemen under Roddy Brindamore, all they want to do is bang it off that glass and get those forwards going and create pace the other way and then really kind of push the puck down your throat and then play in your zone. And then once they're in the offensive zone, their defensemen are active. They're coming all over the place. They're coming down the wall, through the middle. They move guys around, and now it becomes difficult to kind of defend against that because, you know, you get into a scramble situation, and I think that's what led to that second goal yesterday, that they did a good job creating a little offensive zone time early in the third period. So, you know, for me with the Islanders, it's just like you don't want to feed their rush. You want to take the plays that are in front of you. If you can make a play off the rush, you make it. If it's not there, you can't just throw it in willy-nilly, let the goaltender handle it, and let the defenseman that's, you know, then just bang it off the glass or make a quick breakout. You've got to chip it to areas where you can get there, create a one-on-one battle, and hopefully win those battles and then get some offensive zone time.
All right. Well, easier said than done. That and a little bit of luck.
Very easier said than done.
EJ Raddick, as always, appreciate the time and the knowledge, and we'll catch up with you soon.
You got it. You got it. Enjoy the playoffs. It's been a fun day today.
So, absolutely.
We'll see how it goes.
Yeah, Ranger fans pretty happy.
Ranger fans should be happy. They got a good team. We'll see how it goes.
Yeah, they got a good team, and their folk hero played well.
That's right, and he scored. So everybody's happy today.
Absolutely.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.